So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
Go with me in your Bibles, if you will. The book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah. Thank you, musicians. I want to talk to you for just a few minutes tonight on when God hides himself. When God hides himself. Anybody ever felt like God's hiding from you? Now, you know, we would say that, but we don't say that in church because that's not scriptural. It's not spiritual. So we don't want to say that because, you know, we seem unchristian to say that God hides us. You know, I'm one of those, I won't call myself a rebel because some people are a rebel just for the sake of calling themselves a rebel. But I've always been one of those guys. I remember when I was coming up in church and I would hear preachers say, never question God. And I go, why not? Why not? If he's my father, I ask my father why all the time. And if you got a four-year-old, you get tired of why. Amen? When God hides himself, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 8, and I want you just to hold your spot there, because we're going to go to chapter 8, and we're going to go all the way to chapter 9, verse 17, or verse 7. We're not going to read the whole thing, but I'm going to revert back to it a couple of different times during this message. I just really feel like that as I was praying this first part of this week, that somebody needed to hear this word today. In Isaiah chapter 8, verse 11, if you're there, say amen. If you don't plan on going, say go ahead. Heathens. For the Lord spoke thus to me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, verse 12, do not say a conspiracy concerning all that this people call a conspiracy, nor be afraid of their threats, nor their trouble. And the Lord of hosts, him you shall hallow, let him, I want you to underline, let him be your dread, or one translation said, let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. He will be as a sanctuary, but a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the house of Israel, as a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble, they shall fall and be broken, the snare, or be snared and taken. Father, I pray that you would bless the reading of your word tonight, and let us have ears to hear what you would have to say to us in the name of Jesus. And the church said, amen. The setting of this text is that the people are crying out, it's a conspiracy, and the enemy is winning. Where is God? That's what they were basically saying. There's a conspiracy, and the enemy is winning. And I don't know if you've ever been there, and if you haven't, you may eventually get there one day. Don't stay there, but many of us have been to the place where you look around, and it seems like that we're outnumbered, that we're outgunned, and that the enemy is winning and we're not. But I've just come by to tell somebody that we're not outnumbered and that we're certainly not outgunned, and God is still winning. They tell me the last report that I read was by the year 2030 that every unreached people group on the planet will have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ in some way or another. And the word of God says that when he comes back, everybody's going to hear the word of God. So we have ways of doing that now through internet and different things. But I've come by to tell you that America is in a decline as far as Christianity, but outside the United States, Christianity is exploding. And more than that, a full gospel, spirit-filled revival is exploding outside the U.S. Now, what we've got to remember is that at one point in time, the United States was the mission field. We became what God called us to be, but now we've went over that peak and headed back down, and other countries are sending missionaries to the U.S. In Britain, which was the hotbed of the church at one point in time, there's only 2% Christianity in the whole country. Well, Pastor Reed, this is very alarming. Thank you for these great news. You're such an encourager. No. Because you got to ask the question, where is God? And I'm going to tell you where he is. He's right where he's always been. Right in the midst of it. And when there is a threat, there is always fear. Point number one is this. When there is a threat, there is always fear. And if you let the enemy, you'll begin to fear what's going on. You know, I think that, this is my personal opinion, that I think some of us watch the news too much. Amen. And some of us watch Fox News too much. Amen. Right? Now, that's why I don't watch that CNN, Pastor. I watch Fox. Well, you can get just as stupid watching Fox as you can watching CNN. Because I think all of them are stupid. And I think all of them has got a conspiracy. Where is God? He probably ain't in the news. But I know where he is. Come on, somebody. See, when you fear God, you don't have to fear anything else. Now, when I talk about fear, there are two types of fear. And there's God does not want us to be afraid of him, but he does want us to have a reverent respect for him. Now, that's a huge difference. I want my children to respect me, but I don't want them to fear me. I mean, some of you know what I'm talking about. You've been at church with your mama, and every time she went to raise her hand, you would flinch. Because if you was like me, every time mama raised her hand, it was usually coming at me because I was doing something I shouldn't be doing. Amen? But that's not the case. You know, I want my children to reverence me. I want my children to respect me, but I don't want them to be afraid of me. When I walk into the room, I don't want them. You know, a good example is if your kids still like to come home after they leave. You've done a pretty good job raising them. Now, if they don't ever want to leave, that's a whole different message. It's because you spoiled them. And I'm going to get to that here in a few moments. But what I'm saying is that there is a different type of fear. The Bible says in Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So we got to have a reverent fear of the Lord. We fear the Lord, but it's really not fear. It's a reverent respect for the Lord. Because I'm going to tell you that I believe some folks forget who God is. God is not, he is your best friend, but he's not your best friend. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm a big joker, and I kid, and I love kidding around. But every once in a while, I will remind my kids who I am. You know, if they cross that line, you know what I'm talking about. And now you can't keep moving the line every day, because then your kids become schizophrenic. But I'm talking about that every once in a while, I got to tell them, hey, wait a minute now. I'm your daddy. You ain't going to talk to me like that. But if we're kidding, it's a whole different scenario. Every once in a while, I want to, whoa, that's my wife you're talking to. I will stomp a hole in you. Every once in a while, I got to tell them. And every so often, God has to remind us who he is. Because we're taught that he's your best friend, and he is. We're taught that he's your confidant, he is. We're taught that he's your healer, and he is. But he's also your redeemer, he's also your king, and he's also your coming king. So you got to remember who he is. Now, listen to me. I want you to, if you take your notes, write this down. Because here's what you need to remember. Beware if your fear of Satan ever exceeds your fear of the Lord. You don't need to fear the devil more than you fear God. No, I'm not talking about running around trying to stir up that devil. You know, and this is the true story. You know, we are a Pentecostal church, and we do some weird things. I understand that. But the people of Pentecostal churches even do more weirder things. There was a lady coming to me one day. She said, "Pastor, you want to go with us?" I said, "Where are y'all going?" She goes, "We're going to stir up some devils." I go, "No, I'm good. I got enough devils stirred up just doing what I need to do. Come on, somebody. You know, all I got to do is get up and worship the Lord and pray and try to get folks saved, and I can get the devil stirred up more than, I don't know what you're going to try to do. What you going to do? I still don't know what they did because they went without me. Because they said, "Well, Pastor, we're going." I said, "Well, you go ahead, get on your broom and go, girl, because I ain't going. You can giddy on up out of here because I ain't going. I know who I am in God. But I ain't going to stir up nothing. Come on, somebody. But I ain't afraid of it, right?" See, now here's the problem that I have. And I'm going to get on my hobby horses. Hang on. Y'all just hold on. Here's what gets me is we go to the movies to see demonic movies. And we're entertained. But then when it happens in the church, we are appalled. Let me just tell you that, and I know that some of you don't believe that there are real devils out there and people are not possessed, but they are. And let me say something to some of the Pentecostals, that not everybody you think is possessed is not. "Oh, you got an eating demon." "No, I'm just hungry, baby. I ain't got no eating demon. If I am, deliver me somebody. And when you deliver me, I hope it's about 25-pound demon. That's about what I need to lose. But we go and we watch these movies. If you've ever seen the real thing, I don't play with it. I don't play with it, man. I don't go watch that. There, several years ago, there was this movie come out called Mama something or other. I don't know. Well, I wouldn't even watch it on television. It's come out, you cut it over. You scared? No, I'm just not going to let that stuff in my house. I'm not going to open the door to the devil. Well, if you a child of God, I am a child of God, but God says that don't be stupid, don't be foolish, tempt not the Lord thy God. I'm not going to invite that stuff. And then, I told you, I'm on my hobby horse. We go watch that, and then with a Christian, quote unquote, movie will come out. You won't go see it. Or if you do go see it, you tear it down because it ain't biblically correct. I feel better getting it off my chest. Y'all know what I'm talking about. That movie Noah come out. Well, that wasn't scriptural. No, but it was a great movie. Amen. Ben-Hur come out. Well, I don't remember reading Ben-Hur in the Bible. Well, I don't remember about reading about mama being possessed either. Hello. Look at verse 15 says, "And many among them shall stumble, they shall fail and be broken, be snared and taken." Verse 16 says, "Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples." Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. What does that mean, Pastor? God says, "I know it looks bad and it's been long, but wait on the Lord." See, the problem is we don't know how to have patience. Well, I got patience. I had to sit in line 3 minutes for my coffee. No. How about patience of, "I'm going to give you a promise, and then it take 25 years to get there." Because see, here in America, we want God to be a microwave God when usually God is a crock pot God. God lets it marinate. God lets it stew. God cooks it all the way done. And I don't know about you, but almost anything is, if you make it in the microwave or you make it on the stove, usually it's better homemade than in the microwave, any which way you want to put it. But here's what I'm trying to get to. We don't have any patience for God. We don't have any patience. We want God to do it right now because we have been raised that I've got to have it now. You know what I'm talking about. A married couple will get married in the first 2 years. They want what mom and daddy took 30 years to get. And America has made it to the point where you can do so if you've got good credit. And so we perpetuate this instantaneously that you can have it now, you are entitled to it now mentality, and then we bring that into the church and try to influence the church instead of allowing that our church and our spirit to influence our world. Because we want God to do it right now. It took you 30 years to get in a bankrupt situation, and now you give God 24 hours to get you out of it. Oh, I can't get no help, but I'm going to preach anyway. I want you to know that even though you can't see God, wait on God. Even if you can't see Him moving right now, you don't know what He's doing behind the scenes. You don't know what, you know, how many's ever heard the expression, boy, we're just out there watching grass grow? Well, some of us have heard that because it takes a long time. You can't see grass grow, but you know it does. I was gone for 2 weeks. My grass guy didn't come for 2 weeks, and I was walking through knee-deep grass when I came home. But if I'd have been there watching it, it'd have never grew. No, it would have. It just doesn't happen that fast. But we want God to happen fast. But God is working. Sometimes you just don't see what God is doing in your life. And he goes on. You see, you don't know what God is doing upstream. You don't know what God is doing behind the scenes. I know that with myself, I have seed out there, I have prayed about things, and sometimes it seems like that God didn't do anything with my prayers, but I don't quit because I recognize that James says that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much, and sometimes I don't see much, but I believe God at His word. God has come through. I've been serving Him too long. He's come through time after time after time, and I'm just going to keep praying and believing. Because I know that if I won't quit, God won't quit. I know that if I won't quit, I cannot be beat unless I quit. Don't just wait, though, but I want you to do something while you wait. So what we do is just kind of twiddle our thumbs. But the Bible said, bind up the testimony. Seal the law among my disciples. Bind up the testimony. Bind it around your head and your arms. What do you mean? Remember what God has done in the past. Bind up the testimony. The Bible says that we are made overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. See, I know that having a testimony service is a little old-fashioned. And we got away from that because you don't ever know what somebody's going to say. And so many times we had a devil testimony service instead of a God testimony service. If you've been in church long as I have, yeah, when people get up, well, the devil's been fighting me, praise him. I don't know if I'm going to make it, praise him. Well, who are you praising? Sound like you're praising the devil. Amen. Or you would hear some stuff. I'm going to tell you, I could write a book about the stuff I've heard. And I was like, oh, that's so ignorant. Shut up, sit down, please. Just I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Shut down. If I'd have had security back then, I'd been like. Shut them down, baby. But we didn't have it back then. Bind it around your arms and your legs, or your arms and your head. The testimony represents what God has already done to get you to this point. What has God done to get you to this point? Man, I've been serving God over 32 years now. About 33 years I've been serving God. And I'm telling you, man, he's gotten me to I'm just bumfounded every time I think about what the Lord has done in my life. Where he's brought me from, how he's brought me through each and every situation of my life. And there were times that the outcome is not what I wanted, but God still helped me through it. Come on, somebody. The outcome God has never left me. He's never forsaken me. He was right there through every situation, every circumstance that I've ever been through. He was there with me and brought me through it. And I don't know, sometimes I look back and I go, God, I don't know what good has come out of that one, but that one over there, I know the good over here, I know the good over that, and I will rehearse the testimony of the Lord. I don't know what good came out of that, but if you felt like I needed to go through it, so be it. I know that you are more wise than I am. Your ways are not my ways, your thoughts are not my thoughts, and so I don't know, God, it might have been for somebody else, but I give you praise that you brought me through it, that you kept me through it, and that I'm here today. That, bless God, I can stand on my own two feet today. I can still lift up my hand. I can still praise you, and I give you thanks for what you have brought me through. See, your testimony is his investment in you. Nobody didn't believe in me. Jesus did. His seed. My God, I can't get away from this. Your testimony is his seed in your life. Is his seed in your life. You've come from some stuff. But Pastor, I'm going through. Hold on. Keep going. The operative word is you're going through. Don't stop there. Don't give up there. Don't give in there. Go through. Seal the law among my disciples. What does that mean? I'm going to tell you what it means. Find you a group of people who still believe and reminisce about what God has already said. See, man, every once in a while, listen, man, there's sometimes you got to get around some believers. That's why I believe in the church. I thank God for our video. I thank God for Facebook Live and YouTube Live. And we have great people that watch, and I mean all over the country, and I'm so thankful that you do. But if you never get together with God's people, there's something about rubbing arms and shoulders. There's something about worshiping with people. There's something about people getting around you and encouraging you. There's something. It's one thing to hear the word of God from a preacher, but you get around some other folks who say, man, my feet had almost slipped, but let me tell you what the Lord did. I almost gave up, but let me tell you what the Lord did. And the same God that did it for me will do it for you. You get around some folks like that. You get around some believers that have not bowed their knee to Baal, that still believe and still have faith. I'm telling you, it will encourage you. You've got to have some people like that in your life. You've got to get together with some of those people, especially when you're going through it. Because see, because they can have faith when you don't have faith. You've just been beat down and beat up so much you don't even have the faith anymore, but somebody around you still does. Glory to God. See, you got to get around some people who still walk by faith and not by sight. And even though you're afraid, not everybody's afraid. Well, but Pastor, they're not going through what I'm going through. Well, let them be faith for you. You know, here's what the Bible says. Remember the man who was lame? And that they took the four men that brought the guy to Jesus. They took the roof off of the house. And you know, you know how my mind works. I'm thinking, who's going to pay for the roof? I'm thinking, man, if it's my house, I'm going to be mad. I'm going to tell you that right now. Y'all going to put that back, right? But the Bible says their faith has made you whole. Not his faith. He had been in that condition for so long, he felt like he was going to be there for the rest of his life. But some friends around him said, oh no, if we can just get you to Jesus. And he said, their faith has made him whole. Now that does not discount or relegate you from the ability or the responsibility of having faith. Well, I'm just going to trust everybody else. No! Fight to have your own faith, but get around some people who have still believed that not everybody is afraid. Not everybody's afraid of the devil. Some people run when the devil sends his threats, but there is still a group, a remnant, that roll up their sleeves. You ever seen people who just walk around like peacocks all the time? And the first sign of trouble? There's a guy, he's a big old boy. I won't call his name, but he's a big old boy. Knows karate. He told me one day, he goes, well, I'll tell you, Pastor. He said, most people are intimidated by me. I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, you ever been hit in the nose? He said, what? I said, no. I said, I'm just asking, have you ever been hit in the face? Well, no. I said, you ever been in a fight? He said, no, but I know karate. I said, I would kill you then. Because how many knows, you can't remember what Sensei said when you get punched in the face. You can't remember wax on or wax off. Your eyes watery, I did, huh? I told him, I said, I don't know karate, but I know crazy. And I will kill you. Come on, somebody. Now listen, I remember Big John. Y'all know Pastor John? 6'5", 240 pounds. All right, 260. But anyway, I was trying to help him. We were building this church. And we had our dumpster over there. And, you know, and man, people were dumping in our dumpster. That cost us money. And, man, we were already strapped. And so, you know, I found some stuff over there in the dumpster. And I said, man, somebody dumped in our dumpster again. He goes, yeah, I seen four or five guys over there last night when I was leaving. I said, what did you say? Well, it was four or five of them. I said, so what did you do? Well, I got in my truck to go over there, but they were already gone. I said, John! I said, all you had to go is, hey! What are you doing? My Lord. I got to tell y'all this. I don't know where she's at. I think she's back in youth now, my daughter. She is her mama. We were at the Springs the other week with my family. And I came up from, we were down deep. And I came up and here's what I heard. Hey, yeah, I'm talking to you. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Put that out. And I'm like, who is she talking to? And there's a couple over there. Yeah, this is a national park. Put that weed out. We don't want to smell it. Put it out. And she started talking like one of the young men with us. He said, I just went back down. Not me. I got to where I could stand. I'm like, oh, geez, I'm finna fight right here. Pastor gets arrested. But, man, I mean, you know, you got to get around some people who ain't afraid to get a punch or trade punches. You know, when I get into a war, I don't want just everybody new in me that's never been into a war. I need some Bobbies and Janes around me. I need some Mollies around me. I need some folks who have been in battle, who's got a few scars on them, that know how to battle, that when the bullet starts flying, they're not going to tuck tail and run, and they're going to look at me and go, it's going to be all right. We've been here before, baby, but the Lord God has delivered us out of it, and we'll do it again. I need somebody. I need a Viola who will say, hey! I need somebody like that in my life. And let me just tell you, so do you. So do you. Some people run, but some people roll up their sleeves. I'm telling you, if you're ever tired of running from the devil, why don't you take the fight to him for a change? Take the fight to him for a change. I mean, I get tired. Well, you know, a good offense is a good defense, but a good offense is still a good offense too. Amen. Verse 17 says, I will wait on the Lord who hides his face from the house of Jacob, and I will hope in him. Point number two. Well, I plan on letting y'all out early. Point number two. We still may get there. Sometimes God hides himself on purpose. Sometimes God hides himself on purpose. Sometimes God has to use an unseen hand to guide us. Sometimes God has to use an unseen hand to guide us. You ever got an idea and you don't know where it came from? I get them all the time. I'm like, man, that is genius, so I know it ain't me. If God didn't hide, we wouldn't learn to have trust or faith. If God was always super big in your life, you would never have to have faith. You know, a friend of mine was my cousin. Matter of fact, he's a pastor now. But I'll never forget, we used to party together. And then we used to party for the devil. Now we party for Jesus together. And he got saved. And he became a youth pastor. He told me, I'm living on faith. I was like, what does that mean? Because he quit his job. I was like, what does that mean? He said, well, I'm a youth pastor. I go, that's cool. What are they paying you? He goes, nothing. I said, well, naught plus naught is naught. I said, how are you going to buy a car or pay your payment? I'm living on faith. Well, what he failed to tell me is that he had $15,000 in the bank, and he was living on that, drawing a little bit out every week. Yeah. And then that $15,000 finally went out, was gone. And then he came to, I'm living on faith. And then he really started living on faith. Then God still did it. But how many knows that sometimes we say that we're living on faith, trying to be spiritual. When we're not, we're still living on the blessing of what used to be. All right, come on, somebody, hear me now. See, if God didn't hide from us sometimes, would we pray, seek him? Would we fast? If you've never been through anything, you know, man, so stuff start happening, man, we should really start praying. You know, when everything's going right, you just pray them little mamby-pamby prayers. Oh, Jesus. You no, I ain't going to say it. You pray them Bethel white girl prayers. Oh, Jesus. You're just so wonderful to me. You're awesome. The span of your universe. The colors of the sky. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. No, but when you start going through some stuff, your prayer changes. How many knows that? Yeah. I know what I'm talking about because, you know, I know, man. You know, Lord, I just thank you for all your blessings on me. Lord Jesus, I just give you glory and honor. Ah! Oh, Jesus. You know, and you ain't like praying, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray my Lord, my soul to keep. If I should die before the sermon's through, give me a shake for goodness sake, you know. You ain't praying them kind of prayers, man. You like, you know, you praying. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus. You know, you get real Pentecostal even when you're not. God, I tell you, I need you to come back. And, man, you just like really begin to bombard heaven and really pray because you know that there is this true need. And if God never hid himself, you would never fast. You would never pray. You would never seek. But, man, sometimes I got to touch God and I can't find him, so I holler louder. God! Like he's dead, hard of hearing. But you understand what I'm saying. We get fervent about the stuff because he sometimes hides himself on purpose. And it's the journey, not the victory, that gives us our strength. It's the journey. Not the victory that gives us our strength. Well, I'll tell you right now, you know, you don't have victory just because God came through. You have victory because of this, or you have strength because of the struggle that was there before you had the victory. Our power did not come from a father who gave us a silver spoon. Now, I want to hit this for just a moment tonight. God chose not to spoil us as children who do not respect authority or do not know who they are. So most folks don't respect authority. Well, all authority, no, not all authority is crooked. Some folks just don't respect authority. We got some kids in here, and listen, if your kid's doing it, they're going to hear from me. There's a couple of kids who want to call me Ronnie. No. I will take my belt off and beat you like you're my child. You can call me Pastor Ronnie. You can call me PR, but you ain't just going to call me Ronnie and you 10. You can call me Mr. Ronnie. I don't even care, but you're going to put a handle on it. That's your southern roots. Whatever. Just get ready to call DCF when I whip one of your children. Backhand them. No, I would never do that. Because I don't want to go to jail. But anyway. But rather God chose to chastise us, those whom he loves, so that they will grow up. You know, there was a lady in our church, and she's not here anymore, and she moved away, thank you, Jesus. Because she told me this one time. She says, well, I don't believe in spanking my children. I go, it shows. Because your children are heathens. Yeah. If I called her name, Jamie would remember them. But anyway, I said, because your children are heathens. And then she goes, and then she talked a little bit further, and then she said, but I will beat my children. I go, that shows too. She goes, excuse me? I said, honey, your problem is you don't discipline your children. You get mad, fly off the handle, and beat your children. Now, that's a huge difference. Because punishment is backward looking. Discipline is forward looking. Are you listening to me? And God is more concerned about changing you than he is your circumstances. So that's why he's not spoiled. That's why some children still can't do nothing for themselves, because you have a parent who is, codependent on being a nurturer, so they cannot do anything for themselves. They don't know how to make a bed. They don't know how to run a vacuum cleaner. They don't know how to cut grass. They don't know how to rake a yard. They don't know how to do nothing. They don't know how to fix a sandwich. And let me tell you something. Spoiled children aren't tough. They're just loud. I want that to sink in. Spoiled children are not tough. They're just loud. Because they've never been told, shut up. Spoiled children don't know that there are consequences to wrong behavior. I was seeing this on Facebook today, and I thought it was good. The school going back to class, and it said, this is the person responsible for your grade, and it had a mirror. Amen. 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 Someone has always bailed them out. But listen to me, church. If your children doesn't learn how to be disappointed, how, you know, not everybody gets a trophy. Not everybody, you know, if they don't learn disappointment now at an early age, they're not going to, when they have at a later age, it's going to completely wreck their life. Now, the problem is some of us want to disappoint them all the time so that you get used to it. It's life. No, that's the wrong attitude too. But we've got to be smart about it, because God was. God is smart about it. God doesn't expect me to do the things that I can't, but he expects me to do the things that I can. And what I can't do, he comes in with his super and my natural, and it becomes supernatural, and he overcomes the things that I didn't think was able to overcome. Good preaching, Pastor. He will make you pay. Listen, here's the God that I serve will let you spend the night in jail before he comes and picks you up and make you pay the bail money back. Help me now. God will send you to the gallows before he signs your pardon. God will let them put the noose around your neck and drop the floor out before he cuts the rope. Well, that ain't the kind of God I serve. Really? He let Jesus go to the cross and endure it just so that he could pay the price. And so that he could throw him up and go, that's my son. He's more concerned about your holiness than your condition. He's more concerned about you growing than just getting you out of your predicament. Not because he doesn't love you, but he wants you to grow up. Look at your neighbor. Tell him, God wants you to grow up. God loves you enough to show up late, let you fall, and hang yourself with your own tongue. God loves you enough to let you walk in your own arrogance and pride until everything you said with your mouth falls apart. Sometimes he hides. He's not hiding to hurt us or to hurt you. He's only hiding so that you will seek him out. Verse 18 says, here I am, here am I, and the children whom the Lord has given me. We are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts who dwells in the Mount Zion. Here I am. Here I am. I want you to underline, here I am. Isaiah told him, here I am. Because you've got to know where you are before you ever can find where God is. Does that make sense to you? You know, if you ever use the GPS, the first thing the GPS has to figure out is where you are. Before it can ever get you out of where you are, it has to figure out where you are. Now, God already knows where you are, but you need to know where you are. How many has ever been, it just happened to me last week. I'm in Orlando. Let me just go on record. I hate Orlando. I really do. I can't stand Orlando. I don't like to go to the airport there. I don't like to go shopping there. My wife went to the outlet and could not even find a parking spot anywhere at the outlets. I said, what'd you do? She said, I came home. I said, thank you, Jesus. Hey, glory. She said, don't get too excited. I got on Amazon. Dadgummit. But I was in Orlando, and I had to get back to our hotel, and I put their hotel address in, and it said, go to the route. And I said, if I knew where the route was, I'd go to it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? If I knew where the route was, I'd go to it, but I don't see the route yet. But as I looked at the GPS, it showed me where the route was. And I had to figure out where I am and where I was in order to know which direction to go to the plan that the GPS had placed me on. And sometimes you got to know where you are. God's got a plan for you, but do you know where you are? You are never going to make it until you can say, God is in control and I'm in the center of his will. Man, that is such a great place. And let me tell you, just because you're in the center of God's will doesn't mean that you're not going through trouble or you're not going through trial. Sometimes God will take you straight through a construction site. Because it's more important to know your position when you're in the dark than when you're in the light. When you're in the dark, it's so much more important that you know your position when you're in the dark than it is when you're in the light. Because when you're in the light, you can see the obstacles. But when you're in the dark, you better know where you are. Here I am. Isaiah said, here I am. I don't see God, Pastor. But this is right where he told me to be. So then wait on him. I'm not moving till I hear from the Lord. I'm not making plans until I talk to him first. Quit making plans and just ask God to bless it. Quit saying, well, God, here's what I'm going to do. I hope you're in it. No, man. God, give me your plan. Verse 19, and when they say to you, seek those who are mediums, wizards, who whisper and mutter. Should not a people seek their God? Should they seek the dead on behalf of the living, to the law and to the testimony? If they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And you know, we got Christians going to trying to talk to mediums. Christians going to get their fortune tell read. Here, save your money. Come to me. I'll tell you what it is. I'll tell you, if you went to them, you'd have wasted that money. So thank you. There was a palm reader right out here on the corner a little ways down, and they went out of business. I thought that she should have saw it coming. Oh, yeah. I don't quite get that. If you see the future, didn't you see it coming? I don't know. When God dies, all this stuff just comes to me. I don't know. Point number three, when God hides, people get desperate for a word in their life. How many's ever been so desperate you just needed a word in your life? And God gave you that word maybe through a friend or maybe through a preacher, maybe through a prophet, maybe through a song. You just got, maybe you was reading the word and it just popped out and slapped you upside the head, man. And you're like, yes, thank you, Jesus. Because when you get a word, you begin to start looking. Or when you get desperate, you start looking for a word from the Lord. God said, if you need a word, verse 20, go to the law and the testimony. If the person giving you spiritual advice is telling you things that are contrary to the word, that's what this verse means. If he's telling you something that is contrary to the word, You need no other sign that it is not of God. But I don't know if it was God or not. Does it line up with the Word? And I'm going to go back to, and I don't mean to be ugly, but I'm going to go back. Most of us don't know enough of the Word to know if it's the Word or not. Because we don't read it. We don't listen to it. I mean, it is so easy now. You could go to YouVersion and it'll read to you. Yeah, that's how you read. Because Molly's eyes are bad, so that's how she reads. She hears it. I know a man that couldn't read at all, but he got a cassette with the Bible on him. Boy, he knew the Word. It's easy to get the Word. If you want the life that God has for you, then you got to know what the life God has for you is all about. All right? In these last days, we are dealing with more deceiving spirits than ever before. No, I'm not going to say that. Thank you, Lord. Pastor, how do I know the difference? Satan will always use a part of the Word to deceive you, but not the whole. If it's God talking, you can always find it in His book. Verse 21, they will pass it hard, pressed, and hungry, and it shall happen. When they are hungry, they will be enraged and curse their king and their God and look upward. Verse 22, then they will look to the earth and see trouble and darkness and gloom and anguish, and they will be driven into darkness. When God is trying to get you to trust Him, things may get worse before they get better. How many's ever said that? Well, things can't get no worse. And then they did. Amen. He may wait until your plan is completely ruined before He gives you His plan. Remember, it's the journey that makes us strong. It may get so bad that you curse God and even the king. When God hides, it gets dark. It may get darker before His plan in your life is over. But Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1. Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed. As when at first He lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan in Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. And those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. Glory to God. I'm not living in that. I'm not living in chapter 8 anymore. I'm going to live in verse 9. I'm going to live in chapter 9. Those who have seen a great light. You have multiplied the nations. Go ahead, Roger. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. Glory to God. Glory to God. See, when the light comes back, you will notice that something happened during the season of darkness. I want you to catch that. When you've come through, you'll notice something that has happened. They have multiplied through the darkness. Your faith is going to multiply. Your commitment is going to be stronger because you went through the stuff. You know, listen. I've been married to my wife for 32 years. And I'm so thankful for my wife. And I laugh at the love I thought I had for her 32 years ago. I laugh at it. That was mamby-pamby love. That little puppy love. But man, the stuff we've been through. You know, we hadn't been through nothing then. It was always good. Just, oh, I love you, I love you, I love you. You hang up. No, you hang up. No, I'm not going to hang up. You hang up. No. Stupid stuff, you know. But now we've been through some stuff. When we've been through some of the things that we've been through, when we come through it, our love is stronger. Our bond is more secure. It's been multiplied because of what we went through. Verse 4 says, for you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulders, the rod of his oppressor, And in the day of Midian, for every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel of fire. Fire. How is it all this is going to happen? Verse 6, for unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. That's how it's going to happen. Stand to your feet in this place.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.